Rated on BBC Radio Leeds. Good morning, this is Richard. Sometimes doing this job, I feel a bit like a dentist. Honestly, it's true. And that's when you get people who are coming to talk who are a little bit nervous, a little bit reluctant, and are looking at you as though you're about to give them a fill-in. I'm not going to give you a fill-in nor a grill-in, don't worry, ladies. Because I've got two lovely ladies with me in the studio. Firstly, I'm going to introduce you to Nikki O'Brien. Nikki, good morning.
Morning.
Now, Nikki was put into care at the age of 5. And after a few years, she was moved to a different foster family in a different location. And in her own words, which we'll hear in a moment, she admits that she struggled with her time at secondary school. But as a 14-year-old, Nikki finally left care. Do you feel as though someone's talking about you at the moment, Nikki? I think I am. Getting that sense of family inspired her to aim for her dream job, and she's currently training at the Aviation Academy at Leeds Bradford Airport. I'm presuming that's the uniform.
Yes, it is.
Good. I'm not up on the latest fashion, so it might not be, so I thought I'd best clarify.
Right, the uniform.
Marvellous. And also with us is Carol Sloan, who is the long-term foster carer with the organisation TACT. Carol, good morning.
Good morning.
Just to be clear, Carol doesn't foster Nikki, nor never has, but it's just important to get both sides of a story this morning. I'm going to start with you, Nikki, then, seeing as I've given you a big build-up, if that's all right.
Yep.
Tell us your story in your own words.
So I was first put into care due to emotional and physical abuse by my mum and other members of friends and family. But I moved to the Fens in Chatteris, which is near March, down in Cambridge.
Mm.
And I lived with that family for 3 years, and it wasn't meant to be long-term. I was meant to be gone within 3 months, but never know what happens. So then I moved in with my parents now into Peterborough. I've been with them nearly 8 years, so in August. But during like school, I'd hide under tables. I'd like refuse to tidy up. I wouldn't do anything. But then as I got older, I'd realise that I just wanted to be like everybody else. Like I wanted to be calling my parents, they're actually my parents, not my foster carers, that I don't need to sign permission forms because you have to get permission forms and usually that take months, maybe weeks. And then at 14 we decided to get an SGO because I'd been with that family for 3 years, so you can get an SGO after 3 years.
What does that mean?
Special guardianship order.
Right.
So it's basically adoption, but you get to see your real family, but there's no social workers, no review meetings or anything like that.
So the family that were your foster carers,
yeah,
and now your parents.
Yes.
Right, and they're who you see as your mum and dad, is it?
Yes.
Right, okay. Why do you think you mentioned some of the hijinks that you got up to when you were at school? when you came in, when we were sort of going through it, you said you were a bit of a pain.
Yes.
Your words, not mine.
Yes, they were.
Why do you think that was, Nikki?
Because as a difficult background, you're not usually brought up like everybody else. You're not brought up by your own parents.
Mm.
But that's why like most foster kids are difficult. Like, because we're not brought up by our parents, but we gradually learn that some things are definitely wrong and you can't do them.
We'll come back to where you are now in a moment, but I'm going to bring Carol in just at that point. I'll find out exactly what TACT is all about in a moment, but
okay.
I'll pinch Nikki's words again. Foster kids have problems that can be difficult, so why do you do what you do?
Fostering is something we've always wanted to do. I brought 3 daughters up and there's so many children out there that just need a home and a family. And Nick is right, fostering is not easy. You know, you do get difficult behaviour and it's just a matter of getting that child to, you know, be confident, you know, to grow with you. Obviously to try and be consistent with them as well. But you've always got to look back and look at the big picture and you've always got to think, well, these kids have had a difficult time.
Mm.
And sometimes you can think, well, you understand why they're doing this, you know, and why they're reacting the way they are. Because they don't know no different. And, you know, part of fostering is learning them and welcoming to your family and helping them get past that behaviour.
So when you say 3 daughters, are they your foster daughters?
No, I've got three of my own birth daughters.
Right.
Who have all left home now, and I've got grandchildren.
And you have therefore fostered how many other children as well?
I fostered a little boy to start with, and then I had two little girls who were siblings, and then I had a mum and child placement, and then I've got two siblings who were with me long term, and also two siblings who are with me short term, so I've got four children at the moment.
Right.
I've got a house full.
What's that like? you must love it, because you're smart.
I do enjoy it. You know, I get a chance to be at home with the children at holidays. My husband's really hands-on, so are my daughters. My youngest daughter's like a secondary foster carer, so she looks after the children if we ever want to go away. Sometimes you do need a break, you know, but we do take the children on holiday. The children have been off with us twice this last year. We took them to Egypt and we took them to Turkey.
Very good.
Seeing the faces, you know, when they've never been on holiday, the two little ones, it was just amazing. You know, it's just to see how happy they are, you know, and how much they enjoy it. And I love it, yeah. Don't get me wrong, you have bad days, like with everything. You know, it's a 24/7 job. It's not like going to work and coming home. You know, you've got these children 24 hours a day.
Just two little things that I picked up from there. Your daughters, your birth daughters.
Yeah.
Did you need them to be fully behind this?
Absolutely.
For you to do? Because that must have been an interesting conversation.
Absolutely, because one of them, my youngest, she was still at home when we started fostering. In fact, two of them were still at home when we started fostering, but they've moved out. But my grandkids and my foster children, you know, they spend a lot of time together.
And you mentioned as well, I think, that you've had a mother and child placement.
Yeah, I had placement. A mum and child placement.
What does that mean?
It's where a young mum with a child will come to live with you, and you help them bring the baby up, and then it's normally about a 16-week placement, and then the mum goes back with the baby, and hopefully everything's okay. It's not always like that. Sometimes they do break down.
I'd never heard of that before. Is that quite a common...?
I think it's been around quite a while. Yeah. There's not a lot of mum and child placement foster carers.
No.
And it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, but it's rewarding.
What do you think, Nikki, as someone who's been in this scenario, as I mentioned, not with Carol, but for people like Carol, and I'm guessing your mum and dad now, to do this, to throw open their doors and get someone in who's a bit of a pain, your words, not any, you know, but to help you, because I'm guessing you maybe wouldn't be sat here now in the old uniform and togs.
I definitely wouldn't.
You know what I mean?
No, if I had stayed at home with my mum, I would probably be the worst person. I'd be doing drugs, because where I lived was a quite a rough area. So I lived in Northampton. So I'd be doing drugs and smoking and doing everything that a teenager shouldn't be doing. We should just be focusing on our lives and like doing the exams that we should do. Like, last year I did my GCSEs. I could have done better, but it's... I'm just glad I'm here. And for Carol, my parents to do like fostering, it's like helped other children as well, because we fostered children whilst I'm still at home, and we now have a long-term placement boy. Yes, he's rather annoying, but you've got to put up with it.
You say that like a big sister, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like a big sister?
I'm one of six. Seven, right. Sorry.
Seven?
I'm one of seven.
Right.
So I have three older brothers and two older sisters, and then one younger sister, so I'm second to youngest.
Crikey.
Yeah.
So your parents have taken in seven or some of those biological
children? No, we were all split up.
Right.
So my brothers split. My eldest sister went to my nan's. Then me and my other elder sister stayed together, and my little sister was put up for adoption.
Beg your pardon, so that was your biological family,
yeah.
Not your foster... Right, I understand.
Sorry.
That must... That though, in a way, must be... Are you still in contact with all of your siblings?
I am, except one.
Right.
So... Or two. So
right.
It just depends.
But that's on your terms?
Yes.
Right, okay, because I think people would be interested in that. Let's get back to the uniform. What are you training to be, Nikki?
I want to be an airline dispatcher.
An airline dispatcher?
Yes.
What does that mean?
So, do you know the people with the high-vis jackets and the clipboards?
At the airport, yes.
So I want to be one of those so they control the fuel, the plane, the